Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by Content Snare. Content Snare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks or months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. Content Snare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at contentsnare.com. Welcome back to Agency Highway. I'm your host, James Rose, and today I'm talking with Troy Dean, who I'm sure you all already know. Slightly different topic than last time, and it's recurring revenue for digital agencies, which I know is a pretty awesome topic because for a lot of reasons, which we're going to get into. Like, it obviously reduces stress we'll get into that shortly. But Troy runs WP Elevation, which is a coaching program for WordPress consultants that has literally thousands of students that have run through it. I know people that have been through personally, like lots of people that have been through personally and rave about it. So Troy is doing epic things in this space. So I think he's a perfect guest. Welcome, Troy.
Hey, James. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
No worries at all. And awesome that you agreed to come back after our previous chat because I think we started touching on recurring revenue and it was just like, nah, this is its own chat. It's got to be done from the start, whole episode. So let's get into it. Obviously, it reduces stress because you don't have to worry about where money is going to come from next month if you've got this stream just constantly coming in, lets you go out and land more clients. You've got more time to do other things. So why, other than, I guess, if you want to expand on that, like, why is recurring revenue so awesome?
Yeah. So recurring revenue, and, you know, I just want to clarify that recurring revenue is not passive income. They are two very different things. I'm not a believer in passive income. I don't think there is such a thing. There is leveraged income and there is recurring revenue. Recurring revenue just gives you predictable cash flow and allows you the freedom to make some choices in your business about what it is you want to do. It allows you to experiment with different strategies. It allows you to say no to clients who are not profitable and or who are just a pain in the ass or whose project you don't really want to work on. And it also allows you to kind of project into the future and say, okay, you know, in October, we're going to be able to hire a new designer or a new developer because our cash flow and our revenue is going to be X. So it definitely reduces stress. It gives you freedom, man, and it gives you choices. And it's the holy grail of business models as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, totally. There's so many more things I didn't even think about there, like that to be able to hire someone because you know what your revenue is going to be. That's massive, right? Because I know a lot of people get stuck in that sort of 1 to 2 contractor range or whatever and just don't know how to make that leap, and recurring revenue could be the answer. So I actually missed my favorite first question, so I'm going to do that now. What's the best thing that's happened to you this year?
Well, are we talking 2018 or the financial? Okay, 2018. Yeah. my little boy turned 1 on the 4th of July. That's definitely the best thing that happened to me this year.
Nice.
Wow. It's just, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. I kind of explain it these days by saying, if you don't have kids, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about and I can't explain it to you. But if you do have kids, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And before I had kids, I knew nothing about what people with kids were talking about. They were just talking a different language and I'd watch them kind of, you know, watch their eyes light up when they talked about their children. And it just didn't resonate with me. And now that I've got a little boy, it's like, it's a game changer, man. And it puts so much else into perspective. And the one thing I've learned this year, having Oscar, is I'll be 45 in September and I feel like life is definitely short. I've had a few friends pass away of cancer in the last sort of 5 years, and I'm just kind of getting to that point in my life where people that I know are dying, or have got cancer, or, you know, or have got illnesses, and life's too short to do shit that doesn't make you happy, man.
Yeah.
It's just, my friend Seamus, who was actually a WP Elevation member for a while, he said to me, we were at a meetup here one night, and he said, "I'm running out of life." And it's true. It's not like, I don't feel like I'm getting old, but I'm definitely aware of the fact that I'm not going to get any younger. You know, that's a thing. That's like a given. You're not going to get me younger. But for me, I've reached this point in my life where I'm like, if I don't do the shit that makes me happy now, when am I going to do it?
Yeah.
When I'm 55? Totally. When I'm 65? No, let's start doing the shit that makes me happy now.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Recurring revenue allows you the time and the freedom to do the shit that makes you happy.
Yep, totally. I've always been huge on recurring revenue. I think I definitely struggled though to put it in my agency when we were doing the agency thing. That's why I'm keen to hear about how you like to apply this to agencies. So
sure.
Obviously, the biggest part, most people will be familiar with already is like the website care or maintenance or whatever. There's a lot of different things you'll call it, and for different reasons. I want to dig into that quite extensively, I guess, because pretty much all the listener questions we got in the Facebook group were around that. But so other than website care, though, what are some of your favorite ways to add recurring revenue in an agency?
Coaching is definitely one of my favorites. So strategy, advice, and coaching. And the reason I say that is it was the first thing I sold as recurring revenue. So the very first recurring revenue thing I sold, I had this idea for recurring revenue, and I said, okay, let's start off slow. And then I thought, no, that's bullshit. Let's start off fast and then see what happens. And if it doesn't work, then we can pare it back. So the very first thing I sold was a $30,000 a year coaching program, which was basically, $2,500 a month, right? And the reason I like coaching is because generally, as a consultant or as someone who knows something about something, so if we're talking about digital marketing agencies, we know about digital marketing, we know about web design, we know about social media, we know about SEO, we know about content. Mm-hmm. We are constantly giving our IP away and giving our knowledge away to clients for free.
True.
Right? Whether they're existing clients, whether they're potential new prospects. Oh, I've got this idea for a website. Can we go and have lunch and talk about it? No. No, we can't. Sorry. You can join my coaching program and I'll teach you everything I know. And then at some point, if you're ready to engage us to build a website, then we'll charge you accordingly. So coaching was the best way for me to remove all of the tire kickers who just wanted to pick my brain for free. But also,
phrase.
That's right. Correct. Can I pick your brain? No, put the knife and fork down, please. I love talking about digital marketing, and I couldn't think of anything better than getting paid to talk about digital marketing. So that's why I started a coaching program. I went out and sold three of them. So I sold three $30,000 a year packages and went, holy shit, I think I'm onto something here. What happened then is at a $30,000 a year price point, there's an expectation that you're going to do some implementation. So what I did is I would do the strategy coaching. We'd basically look at their Google Analytics report. We'd look at their email service reports, email marketing reports. And we'd say, okay, what's the goal? What are we aiming for? What's currently happening with the data that we've got? What can we do to improve our performance? And then there would be a bunch of stuff that needed to happen on the website or happen in their CRM or some marketing automation that would need to happen in order to execute the strategy. And there was no way I was letting the client do that on their own because they weren't equipped to do it and they would just make a meal of it.
Yep.
So that's where the whole care plan thing came from. This was back when everyone was selling maintenance plans.
Yeah.
Before WordPress had auto updates, people were charging, $50 a month to update WordPress and do security and do backups. Well, that very quickly became automated and became a commodity and became worth about $5 a month because it's kind of baked in software. So That's when I pivoted and started selling care plans, which include strategy, coaching, consulting, and the implementation. So it's essentially like a retainer. That is my favorite thing for recurring revenue.
Yeah, that's good because it also comes into one of the questions. Like a lot of people asked, what should you include and that kind of thing. But one of the questions I noticed there was, is it worth the effort, from Pam, which was, I mean, that's paraphrased, but I think what she was saying there is like a lot of maintenance plans. I could be totally wrong here, but you know, people are selling maintenance plans for like $50 to $100 a month sort of thing. And I can understand that it's not really, it's not going to add much to your bottom line. You got to get a lot of clients to make that worthwhile. So it sounds like this is a way to make it worth the effort.
Yeah. I mean, at $50 a month, if you've got 100 of those clients, that's $5,000 a month. If you are spending, you know, your time and your hours logging into Manage WP and pushing buttons and updating plugins and dealing with things that break, your profit, if you live in Australia, your profit is going to go out the window very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a team somewhere in a, you know, emerging economy where the cost of labor is a lot cheaper and they're doing that for you, then sure, maybe this is a viable business model. But really, at $50 a month, how many clients do we need to make that viable? And that's just a headache. So,
yeah,
you know, here's an idea. Why don't we make them $500 a month and then ask ourselves, what does it need to include for it to be a complete no-brainer for the client to say, yes, I'll pay $500 a month? And here's the thing. It's not going to be maintenance, right? Because people expect that. Squarespace gets updated in the cloud. Your Chrome browser gets updated in the cloud. You know, maintenance is expected. Software updates, backup security, that's expected. So you can't charge for that. I don't think anyone these days wants to pay a lot of money for a care plan, because it's not like you're going to say to someone, hey, give me $5,000 for a website and then we'll neglect it once we launch it. Yeah. Of course, we're going to take care of it. So you've got to ask yourself, what are they willing to pay for? And that's where, if you understand their business enough and you understand their pain points and you understand their goals and what it is they're trying to achieve, you can essentially become either their virtual digital marketing department or their virtual business intelligence department. You can set up Clipfolio dashboards for them. You can plug in things like Google Data Studio, and you can say, hey, like, I got a mate of mine who runs a pub trivia business here out of Melbourne, very, very successful. And his accountant set up a bunch of dashboards in Google Data Studio and started tracking things without my mate even knowing. And so then when they sat down for their monthly strategy meeting, the accountant was like, did you know that it costs X amount for every show that we put on, and we have an average attendance rate of this much, and our revenue is this much, so that every person who plays pub trivia on a Tuesday night at one of our venues is worth this much to us in revenue. And my mate who owns the business is like, I had no idea, and I didn't even know my accountant could build dashboards in Google Data Studio. I didn't even know what Google Data Studio was, but now he's got all this live data at his fingertips. They're making much smarter decisions and making those decisions a lot quicker. And that is not really within, like, if you signed up for an accountant, you would not expect them to do that, right? But the accountant has gone out of his way to figure out how to make that happen, and he's a whiz with Zapier, and he's done that and made it happen so that he can then sit down with my mate who's the business owner and say, hey, dude, we should be doing this. Now, he's adding massive value to the business, and he's getting paid accordingly.
Yeah, and he's massively delighted, your mate. You know,
100%. And the more successful Pete's business is, the more successful the accountant's going to be. And he's got an interest in making sure all of his clients run successful businesses.
And it's also one of the kind of thing that he's going to go to his mate and say, holy crap, my accountant did all this for me. And the other person's going to go, wait, well, how do I sign up with your accountant?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, James, because I was having breakfast with Pete recently and Pete was telling me the story. I'm like, so what's your accountant's phone number?
Yep.
our accountant sure as hell doesn't do that.
Yeah. And I guess the moral of the story is you can do the same kind of stuff for your clients as a digital agency by delighting them.
The moral of the story is, you know, I'm going to drop a name here, so I'm just pre-warning. I had the good fortune to interview Seth Godin on the podcast recently, last year. And he said, you know, gun to the head, if you have to triple your income in the next 12 months, but you are not allowed to take on one new client, how would your service offering have to change to make that happen?
Boom. That's deep.
Yeah. So, you know, instead of chasing new, more clients, why don't we have a look at the clients we've got and ask ourselves, how do we impact them so much in a positive way and help them succeed so much that them giving us $1,000 a month for what we used to call a care plan is like, they'll thank us every time we send them an invoice or every time we bill their credit card. They'll thank us.
Yeah, I mean, that's about making them more successful. Yeah, because you can convince someone. You know, if you're making someone another $2,000 and ask for $500, that's a bit easier than saying, "I'm going to add $500 of cost just to look after your site."
Yeah, 100%. And you should know, if you're a digital marketer, you should know how to do that. The good thing about being a digital marketer is that you know which half works, right? You know which half of the effort that we're putting in works because everything's trackable. Everything, we can measure most things. And so if you're spending money on ads or you're spending money and resources on email marketing or you're spending money on social media, we can track that and we can have a look at the engagement and we can track goal conversions and we can say to our client, hey, this month you spent $1,500 on our fees, you spent $15,000 on paid traffic, you spent, you know, X amount on content creation. Here's what it all led to. Here's what it meant. Here are the new customers that you signed up. And we know from your CRM and your shopping cart that a customer is worth about $1,500 over the life of that customer. So your ROI is X. Shall we do it again next month? And of course, the client is going to say, well, thank you for doing all that work and doing the analysis for me. And yes, let's keep going because I'm making money out of this.
Nice. So what would you say to someone who was just hell-bent on doing the just classic maintenance and site care plans without these value adds? Because to be honest, it sounded like that, from the questions I got, it sounded like that's what most people were trying to do.
Sure. So what I would say is there's two ways to do it. You either become a website care business and you do what Dan Norris did, which is build a massive team around the world in emerging economies where the cost of labor is a lot cheaper, and you can offer care plans for $69 a month, and you scale it up, and you have lots and lots and lots and lots of customers, and your biggest problem there is going to be churn. So you are constantly chasing rabbits down rabbit holes because every month you're going to have a percentage of your customers that are like, huh, I don't see the value in this. Thanks. I got that problem fixed last month, but everything's fine now, so I'm going to cancel, right? Not the type of business I want to be in. And ultimately, not the kind of business Dan wanted to be in because he sold it to GoDaddy.
Yeah.
So the other way to do it is to ask yourself, how do we make these care plans super valuable to our existing clients so that we can get paid more and that we can do it profitably? And what is our sweet spot? So let's say that you're really good at helping Shopify business owners increase conversions through their checkout. For whatever reason, right? Maybe the quality of the leads that you drive. Maybe it's some ninja trick you've done on their shopping cart page by using the little proof widget or whatever it is. But let's say that's your sweet spot. Then ask yourself, how much do I need to deliver to my client in order for them to pay me $1,000 a month? Now, if they're someone who's doing $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 a month in revenue from their Shopify website, and you get them a conversion bump of like 1% that month, well, you could add 30 or, 40 or 50 grand to that business over a period of 3 or 4 months. Well, paying you $1,000 a month is a no-brainer.
Right.
So instead of trying to compete with everyone else and instead of looking at what everyone else is doing in the website maintenance plan space or the website care plan space and saying, well, I need to price my plans at $59 a month because that's what everyone else is doing, what you don't understand is what's going on in their business behind that. So you just see that, Maintain are doing website maintenance plans for $59 a month, and so we have to be competitive with that. You don't know how they're running their business. A, you don't know if they're profitable. Mm-hmm. B, you don't know how they're running their business to deliver that value at a profit point. They've probably got 30 or 40 or 50 staff in the Philippines or India or Ukraine somewhere or Poland, right? So you can't look at what you see on the surface and try and copy that. It's a very, very quick way to lose money. So I would be repackaging the care plan into something that is unique. So call it the Shopify conversion plan or, the business continuity plan or your virtual business analyst or your, virtual digital marketing department. Come up with something unique that no one else can compete with, and that uniqueness is based on what you guys do in the agency. What do you do that no one else can do? And if you haven't figured that out, well, then that's probably where you should start. It's figuring out what your sweet spot is.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And I'm just looking through the questions here, and this pretty much negates like all of them. Like, because there's things like, you know, obviously, is it worth the effort? Well, yeah, it is if you're charging higher. We've got some questions from Chris and Joey around automation and scaling plans up, where mm-hmm. You're not going to need as much automation. And like, you know, if you're going to scale up a team like Maintain, like potentially are, or WP Curve did, we're talking like lots of processes and systems and cheap staff to scale that up, of course. But you know, if you, like before, you said you need 100 clients at $50 a month or whatever, or you could just charge one person,
$5,000 a month. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah. And you probably need a lot less work to do that, right? Even without automation.
So I was on a call this morning, in the interest of complete transparency, I was on a call this morning at 6 a.m. here in Melbourne with our Mavericks Club. So we have a high-end mastermind called Mavericks Club. And one of our members in Mavericks Club is like dealing with this hospitality business owner here in Melbourne. And, you know, if you're, and I don't know what the revenue numbers are, but let's say, for example, if you, you know, own a couple of really nice restaurants here in Melbourne, you might be doing $2 million a year in revenue. Well, if you're going to, and you're not doing digital marketing really at all, right? It's just kind of all word of mouth and referrals, but you know that digital marketing is an opportunity and you want to go all in on it. How much is it going to cost you to hire a full-time digital marketer in Melbourne? 80?
Yeah. 80, 100. Yeah.
80 to 100 grand. Let's say 60. Let's say you get a digital a really good digital marketing student graduate for 60 grand.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Well, that's $5,000 a month. Right?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, instead of paying someone who's young and hasn't made a lot of mistakes $60,000 a year to go work with you, why don't you pay us $5,000 a month? Because we know what we're doing and we understand your business. And we built your website, by the way. And we know your strategy. We know your business. There's no onboarding process here because we've been working with you for the last 6 months. Just pay us $5,000 a month and we'll be your virtual digital marketer. Well, how many clients do you need at $5,000 a month to then run a profitable business and have enough recurring revenue that all the bills are paid, everyone's taken care of, and you can start to pick and choose the projects you work on?
Yeah, and right? On the other side of that, I mean, if it's $5,000 a month that they would be paying someone, or like even like $6,000-$7,000, so that you would be paying someone, that might mean you only need 2 clients at $5,000 a month to justify bringing on that person.
Correct. Now, the problem with this is everyone's going to say, well, you know, I don't have clients that can afford to pay me $5,000 a month. Well, then go and find better clients.
Exactly.
Right. So let me just talk about this for a second, because this is something that I'm super passionate about. And this is the lowest hanging fruit for anyone listening to this. The lowest hanging fruit is stop doing what you think you're supposed to be doing. Stop copying everyone else's marketing tactics. Stop trying to build funnels. Stop driving heaps of Facebook ads to squeeze pages and getting email addresses from lead magnets. Just stop all that bullshit, right?
Thank you.
None of that shit matters, right? Here's what you need to do, in my humble opinion. Here's what I think you need to do. Come up with a unique offering that you can go to the market and say, this is what we do. These are the results that we've gotten for previous clients. This is how we work. This is the investment, and this is what you can expect. And don't call it a website care plan. Don't call it a website maintenance plan. Put a unique name on it. Come up with a unique process that you can take your clients through to take them from zero to hero, work with them, and you either sell that to them as a done-for-you service, which is high-end consulting, or you do it in a group coaching program, and which is kind of a done with you service, or you have an online program or an online course that you sell them, which is a do it yourself version of events, right?
Yeah.
That is, and I reckon it'll take 2 years to pivot a traditional agency model to this kind of business model that I'm talking about. That's how long it took us, really. And to answer Pam's question, is it worth it? Well, if you want to spend the rest of your life on the feast and famine cycle of, you know, get the job, do the job, go look for another job, get the job, do the job, go look for another job. If you want to spend the rest of your life doing that, happy days. But I don't want to spend the rest of my life doing that because it's too stressful and you're not building an asset. You're trading your time for money. You're not actually building a business. You've just given yourself a job.
Yep. Yeah, this is, oh man. So, and like I said, this has pretty much negated all the questions. So I might just quickly go through them. Someone asked like how to sell them. What parts tend to sell better? What's the best time to sell? What results are going to sell them, right?
Okay, let me answer that question, because there's probably a bunch of people listening to this who are doing ad hoc work on clients' websites. You know, oh, can you add this testimonial to our website? Or can you, we've employed someone new, can you add someone to our staff profiles?
Yeah, page? And this came up in a couple of questions too, like how to limit, like do you do it by 30-minute limit a month? This is another part of the question. Do you include hosting?
Yeah. So there's a great blog post that Christina Romero, one of our coaches who is on maternity leave at the moment, she wrote this great blog post on our blog. It's called The Great Migration. If you just Google WP Elevation, The Great Migration, you'll find it. And it's basically how to get existing legacy clients who are not on a care plan onto a care plan, right? And this will solve the problem of customers calling up saying, oh, can you add this image to my blog or whatever the thing is, right? And you're like, oh, Jesus, this is going to take 15 minutes, but I can't charge in 15-minute increments. So this solves that problem, because you basically go to all of your clients and say, look, things have changed. This is how we work now. If you're not on a care plan, you're on your own. So this is the low-hanging fruit. This is the quickest way to get some recurring revenue into your business by transitioning all of your legacy clients onto care plans. Now, you'll lose some clients in the process, which is a good thing, because you should lose them because they're not valuing what it is that you're doing.
And we'll drop that link in the show notes too. I've just put a note in for myself to Google it so I can put it in there. Cause yeah, I mean, that just nailed another question too. Like, how do you sell to existing clients? Cause that Corey asked, who's been on this podcast as well. And, you know what? I remember, I don't know if it was that exact post. I thought it was one that you'd written that I read years ago. And it was along the same lines. Like, it had like an email template or something to send out to.
So we also rent, there's also, if you Google website maintenance plans, I think we come up number one, which is no accident. And the post is actually a webinar that we ran with a friend of mine, Brad, from GoWP out of Atlanta, Georgia. Brad was actually doing all the implementation for my clients' websites at one point. He's basically like a kind of a white label version of a WP Curve for agency. Mm. I was just reselling his services and they were doing all the work. And so that post is, it basically tells you how to create and sell maintenance plans. And it's got all the email templates that you need to send to your clients. It's got, you know, an idea for a sample blog post that you could write to say to your clients, hey, this is what's changing in the world. And from a technological standpoint and economically and socially, this is what's going on. And this is why the change has been made. And this is how we're doing business. But at some point, you have to just have an honest conversation with yourself and say, this client, as much as I like them, they're not profitable. They keep asking for all these little updates to their website and they're actually costing me money. So let's just fire them. Yeah. You know, just because they need help and you can help them doesn't mean you're obliged to help them. You're allowed to say no. It's your business. You can do whatever you want. So,
yeah, I just interviewed another guy, an agency, local agency to Brisbane, and he went through this, you know, like he said exactly that, basically, that he was in that mindset that because he could do it, he wanted to do it for everyone. And that was a big mindset shift for him. So yeah. And so he's about to exit, you know?
Yeah. Sorry to name drop again, but Seth said, here's a crazy idea. Instead of building something that we think is a good idea and then trying to sell it to people, why don't we build something that people want to buy? And here's an even crazier idea. Why don't we build something that people with money want to buy?
Funny, right? That.
Right. So if a client is a lowball client and they're whinging about paying $50 a month for hosting, you're never going to sell them a care plan for $1,500. Mm-hmm. Just tell them, I'm sorry, this part of my business is no longer sustainable. We really wish you all the best, but we're not the droid you're looking for. We just can't give you the love and attention you deserve anymore for this price point because it's not sustainable.
Totally. And I'll hit you up for that intro to Seth later.
Sure, no problem.
Oh, okay. So, man, I think that pretty much nails it. Like, here's one. Doug asked about having the site itself on a retainer. And I guess that's a total possibility if you're doing high level
Right. So my friend Dave Fuller, who was a WP Elevation member for quite a few years, in fact, I think he was one of the first to join and he was in the program for over 4 years, he very quickly kind of worked some things out about recurring revenue and he pivoted his entire business to a subscription business. So you can't buy a website from Dave anymore. You go onto one of his plans and he'll come and spend some time with you once a month and they'll talk strategy and he'll look at your reports and he'll give you advice. And by the way, you'll get a website as part of that plan. And then every couple of years, they'll do a design refresh because, unless you are designing bespoke, unless you are designing brands or you are building custom dev websites that need to integrate with a whole bunch of third-party API stuff. I mean, a website's a website. You know what I mean? I mean, they're basically a commodity these days. And, ultimately, it's the same result that we're selling everyone. So Dave put everyone on a subscription and just said no to the kind of custom web build jobs because they were too stressful. They drag on too long and it's really hard to make them profitable because clients generally disappear and don't give you the content, which is a problem you're trying to solve. So he pivoted everything to a subscription-based business. That's totally doable.
Yeah, awesome. One last one, which I guess Jesse asked, what system would you use to keep track of it all? And I guess this isn't so important. Like if you've only got a handful of clients, you don't really need some like Ubute CRM to track like who's on what level of plan. And so I would have said like Thrivecart and ActiveCampaign are good for this, like which they're really good tools if you're doing like high volume stuff. But yeah. With this strategy, we're not really doing that, are we? We're going handful of clients. You don't really need to track that
like,
well.
Stripe and a checkout form or PayPal and, Gravity Forms and Stripe will do the and a spreadsheet, just really simple CRM where you can leave notes on someone's record. The volume business is, we're a volume coaching business, but it's a different kind of business now. We're totally. An education training coaching business. Managing, I look personally, you could not pay me enough to build the kind of business that Dan had at WP Curve. I mean, it's just got headache written all over it. And that's just not the kind of business that I want to be in. It's way too stressful. And I'm in the talking business. I was saying to Simon before, one of our coaches, I love talking about work more than I like working. And so that's what I do now. I kind of get paid to talk about work rather than actually work.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a team and we've got processes that, do a bunch of work. So I think the most valuable thing that you can sell your clients is clarity, because most small business owners, if they're thinking about the internet, they're confused. They don't know where to start. They're overwhelmed by, do they Snapchat? Do they Instagram? Do they Facebook? And what about this new thing? And, I've heard about blah, blah. They're overwhelmed with tactical ideas, but they lack strategy and they need clarity. And they're going to want to pick your brain for free, so you may as well charge them and then give them your best.
Yeah, this just wraps up a lot of these problems into one thing, and like most things, more money will make most of the problems go away. if you're charging a lot of money per month, you can throw in hosting and strategy and small fixes and all this sort of stuff. And you can easily justify it by getting them results.
Yeah.
So really it's ideal.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that people don't realize is that, if your customers are small business owners or even medium-sized businesses, they're lonely. They feel like they spend most of their time worrying about their business or working in their business. And when they're not working in their business, they're thinking about their business and they're lonely and they don't know if they're doing it right. Yeah. And they need someone every now and then to pat them on the back and go, "Hey, James, you're doing a good job, mate. It's all good. The strategy's clear. You're not insane. It's going to work. Let's just stay the course." And so if you can bring them together into some kind of group Zoom meeting a fortnight, have a conversation with them, lead the conversation, answer any questions they've got, get them to share their wins and their successes with each other and their challenges with each other, you'll actually find, one of the great things about our mastermind group is watching them talk to each other. And I'm just kind of standing back when we're in San Diego. A couple of weeks ago, I was just standing back kind of going, "Wow, this is kind of cool. I'm not even required here." I could disappear for half an hour and I don't reckon anyone would notice because they're actually just helping each other solve their problems. That's a really powerful thing that you can do. And you charge a premium for those high-end masterminds. And you, at that price point, you can help them execute. You can roll up your sleeves and actually help them get some shit done because it's profitable.
And I think that's where we should wrap it up, at least the meat of this, because I don't think there's anything more to be said. We've smashed all the questions. You've delivered. I think this is a really good strategy for pretty much everyone listening as a digital agency, especially like ones struggling with the lowball clients like that. Oh, man, I absolutely agree with you on that. I wanted to create a WB Curve style thing at one point, and I eventually realized, hang on, at $70 a month, I got to get a lot of clients and hold onto them to make any real money here. So yeah, you've pretty much smashed it. So thanks.
No problem, James. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm just going to hit you with a couple of quick little questions first. I hate the word lightning round, but I got nothing else for it. Cool. If you were to go right back to the beginning, what would you just tell Mini Troy just starting out on your little agency journey?
Nobody knows what they're doing.
Yes. Oh, man. That's so true. I still don't know what I'm doing. What's your favorite piece of technology right now?
The Apple Pencil and the iPad Pro.
Wow. Okay. Nice.
I'm drawing. I'm handwriting again, dude. It's awesome. I'm loving it.
That's awesome. I did notice, speaking of technology, that you've got the microphone that I use for these podcasts just as a prop in the background of your studio there.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, the Rode Broadcaster, this microphone I'm using at the moment is, man, it's just beautiful. And I'm running it through I'm running it through a Universal Audio Apollo Twin audio interface. I'm just wetting my pants over. It's absolutely beautiful. But having said all of that, I'm loving the Apple Pencil and the iPad Pro. I'm loving handwriting notes and emailing PDFs of handwritten notes to our clients. It's beautiful.
Wow, that's awesome. All right. Where can people find out more about you?
WPElevation.com is the mothership over there. We have a podcast. We have a live stream show that goes out on Facebook every week called Silence is Golden with myself and Simon Kelly. We have a how-to video we publish, I think, every week. There's so much content over there. It's ridiculous. We're becoming a media house is really where I want the business to be over the next 12 months, and that's where it's going. At Troy Dean on Twitter, I check occasionally. And that's probably the best place to hit me up.
Yeah, sweet. And I'll also drop links into the Great Migration and the website maintenance plans. Was it webinar that I got to find?
So it's a blog post, but it has the recording of the webinar embedded in that blog post as well.
Awesome. All right. There you have it. Head over and WPElevation.com and check it out and learn more. So thank you for joining me, Troy.
Thanks, James. Keep up the good work, dude.
Thanks, man. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes, leave a review, share it with anyone that you think will get something out of it, and I'll see you in the next episode. Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.